Okay.
And when Thomas, the disciple, first saw Jesus after the resurrection, he said this. He says, "My Lord and my God." My Lord and my God. He saw Jesus and he recognized him for who he was. My Lord and my God. I haven't got any props this morning. I haven't got any of the, you know, the stuff that I've brought before, because I was thinking to myself, do you know what? This is not about making an entertaining talk. I think God's got some serious things to say this morning. So this isn't about me, and it isn't about the meeting and how good it is. This is about you. This is about Dave. This is about Jackie. This is about Sam. This is about John and Appy. This is about you. God wants to talk to you, okay? I'm just here, and I may or may not do it well. Do you know what? I don't care. I'm going to tell you the story of Jacob from the Old Testament. And he was a man who moved from not really having that much to do with God to being a man who could say, "My Lord and my God," in his own way. When Jacob was in his mother's womb with his twin brother Esau, God said that the older would serve the younger, and that it was going to turn out that Jacob, who was going to be the younger, would be the, if you like, the chosen person. He would be the representative of the nation that was going to go on in the end to lead to Jesus and all the stuff that we just sung about and celebrated. So Jacob is born, Esau is born, and they grow up. And Esau, he's an outdoorsy type. He's a good hunter. He does all sorts of stuff, and he's his dad's favorite. His dad, Isaac, chooses him as his favorite. Jacob, on the other hand, is a kind of homebody. He sticks around the tents, it says. He's quiet, and he's his mum's favorite. But Jacob, he isn't the kind of person you would think God would choose, because the first part of the story of Jacob, you find out, is he cheats his brother Esau out of his birthright. Now, the birthright was like kind of saying that you are going to be the leader of the family. You are the one who is going to inherit. And so he cheats his brother Esau out of his birthright. Then he goes on to, a bit later, to cheat his brother Esau out of his father's blessing. He's encouraged by his mum. So this is a really dysfunctional family here. He's encouraged by his mum, who even makes the plan for him to do it. I won't go into it. It's worth reading because it's a great story in Genesis. And so they cheat Esau out of his birthright. When Esau finds out, Esau is not happy. He is really mad. And he is breathing threats against Jacob. He's going to kill Jacob the first chance he gets. And Isaac and Rebekah, the parents, they get to hear about this, and Jacob probably does, and he's probably shivering in his boots. He's no warrior, is Jacob. He's a real home man. And so they say, you've got to go. And Jacob's probably saying, yeah, I've got to go. And they suggest that he goes to his uncle Laban, who lives quite a long way away and can look after him and protect him. And they'll kind of calm, you know, Esau down if they can. And so Jacob starts the journey to Uncle Laban, okay? Now, up to this point, God hasn't come into it. These people scheme and they plan and they do all this stuff, and God is like in the background. He's not taken much notice of. And here's number one point that God wants to say to you. How often do you make all your plans, all your schemes, try and get round everything, all the problems you come to, and God is kind of in the background? Maybe called up later on when you mess it up, but you leave him till last. So Jacob doesn't even leave him till last. He just goes off, and he's going to Uncle Laban's place, and partway along, it's getting dark, and he decides he needs to stop, have a sleep. And during that time, he has a dream. And the dream is of a staircase that goes from earth to heaven. And there are angels going up and down on this staircase. And at the top, there's God. Okay? And whoa. This is what God says. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth. You will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. What a great promise. God is going to look after him. Not only that, you know, Jacob, you have been chosen. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. That's what you've been singing about this morning. You are those people that have been blessed through Jacob. Okay, I won't leave you until I've done what I've promised you. What an amazing thing. And Jacob awoke from his sleep and he thought, surely the Lord is in this place and I was not aware of it. You know, so often we live our lives and we're not aware that God is with us. And Jacob, just he wasn't someone who really at that moment cared about God, but now God cares about him. God has come and met him because God cares about you and he will meet you even in your worst place. And so Jacob, he calls the place Bethel, the house of God, and he decides that he's going to make a vow. But listen to this vow. This is such an us vow at times. Jacob made a vow saying, if God, right, if God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I am taking and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear so that I return safely to my father's house, then the Lord will be my God and this stone that I've set up as a pillar will be God's house, and of all of you and all that you give me, I will give you a tenth. What a generous offer from Jacob that was, wasn't it? Are we like that sometimes? If God, if my life is okay, if all goes all right, you know, then God is my God. But if not, maybe not. You know, I know that Dave has spoken about this before. You know, sometimes people, they pray and they pray about their jobs and their lives and this, that and the other. And then when they get what they want, then kind of God isn't needed anymore. You know, he's an if God. He's an if God. If God does this. That's not what it's about. But that's the stage that Jacob was at that point. That's where he was. So he goes on to Uncle Laban's place, and cut a really long, unpleasant story short. He marries Leah, he marries Rachel, he gets a whole stack of kids, and he gets very, very wealthy with his Uncle Laban doing work for him. And during this time, he schemes for all he's worth, and he finds that Uncle Laban is just as bad as him. So they're all trying to get one up on the other. It's not a good, you know, it's not a good thing. And this is the person who's been chosen by God to bless all the peoples. This is the guy, right? Never think that you are not good enough. Have a quick gander at Jacob and think, well, you know, I don't think I was very good, but, you know. So right, they try and they're doing each other down for all they're worth. And the family, this is, I said, the whole family is like this. So the Laban's sons start getting angry because they see everything that Jacob's getting. And Jacob realizes this is not a good place to be. But being Jacob, he doesn't kind of go and chat with Laban about it. He does a runner because this is Jacob. And he doesn't pray about it first. He just goes, you know, I'm off. But the thing is, he's got all the livestock and all the riches and all the family and all everything else. And there's so many things that Laban, Uncle Laban, easily catches up with him. And when Uncle Laban catches up with him, of course, Uncle Laban has a go at him. He has a go at Uncle Laban. They each blame each other. You know, this is the family. You know, it's your fault, you know, it's my fault. And as part of all of this, this is one of the things that Jacob says, and I want you to get hold of this. He says, if the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac had not been with me, you would surely have sent me away empty-handed. The God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac, that's the fear is like a title saying this is an awesome God. Not my God, their God. Jacob isn't at the point where he's saying, my Lord and my God. This is somebody else's God. And after they've had the discussion, their free and frank discussion, they make a treaty between each other. And Jacob takes an oath. And it says in the Bible, he took an oath, not in the name of his God, in the name of the fear of his father, Isaac. It was always somebody else's God, not his God. When you come here, and I think I probably speak to people who love Jesus and are already here, but you know that, is it your God? And is your relationship with God growing? You know, what is that relationship you have with God? At this point, Jacob didn't have a solid relationship with God. God was looking after him. But, right, so, now he's going to meet Esau. Now, bear in mind, the last time that you saw Esau, Esau was really mad at him. Okay, and was going to kill him. And now he hears that Esau is coming to meet him. And Esau's got 400 men with him. This is not good, is it? I mean, yeah. So what does Jacob do? Now his initial thing is not to pray. His initial thing is to say, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to divide up everything into two. So one lot go this way. And another lot will go that way. And that way, by doing that, he might attack that lot, and then this lot will get away. He starts making plans, scheming. And then he kind of has that moment. Maybe he remembers what happened at Bethel, and he decides to pray. And he prays, oh, God of my father Abraham, not his God, God of my father Isaac, who said to me, go back to your country and your relatives and I will make you prosper. You know, it's almost as if he's saying here, by the way, you told me to do this. You got me into this. And I will make you prosper. I am unworthy of all the kindness and faithfulness you have shown your servant. Well, that's the first truthful thing he's really said all the time, isn't that? You know, I had only my staff when I crossed this Jordan. Now I have become two groups. Save me, I pray, from the hand of my brother Esau. Now we're getting to the nub of the thing. You know, get me out of here. Beam me up, Scotty. I want to get out of here. You know, so often we turn to God in those times. There are people who don't even really believe in God, don't they? And they'll make a... Suddenly, they're praying. And this guy is now praying for all he's worth. So, and I love this. Save me, I pray, from the hand of my brother Esau, for I'm afraid he will come and attack me and also the mothers with their children. Like, they sound like a kind of afterthought. You know, get me out of here. Oh, yeah, and them too. Yeah, those two, them as well. But you have said, I will surely make you prosper and make your descendants like the sand of the sea, which cannot be counted. You know, it's a great thing to stand on the promises of God. I feel that this was a good thing for Jacob to do, but I think his motivation might have been slightly different. I think here he's saying, like, you got me into this, get me out of it, and you said it'd be all right. You know, that kind of attitude. And so Jacob is going to meet Esau, and he makes a whole lot of other plans because he's prayed, but he's going to try and do things his own way. So what he decides to do is he starts dividing up the livestock, and he's going to send a bit forward and have lots of different groups of livestock. And as Esau comes along, the person he's put in charge, and of course, by the way, Jacob will be right at the back. You know, he's right at the back. He's not at the front. He puts other people in front, and they're to say to Esau, oh, this is from my master Jacob, and you can have this. The idea is it kind of softens him up. By the time that Esau gets to Jacob, everything will be cool. You know, that's the plan, because he's prayed, but he's got. Jacob has always got a plan, his own plan, okay? But God has got something else on. And that night, a very peculiar thing happens. Jacob wrestles with a man during the night. Now, no one really quite understands this, but it's a manifestation of God. And he wrestles with this manifestation of God, this man, until daybreak. And while he's wrestling, the man, he says, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me, is what Jacob says. And so this man who is God says, this manifestation of God says to him, what's your name? He says, Jacob. Now, Jacob, you know, he's a right twister, and that's almost what his name means, you know, somebody grabs on in the wrong way. He says, I'm going to call you Israel. That's going to be your name now, Israel. That means wrestles with God, or you could say gets to grips with God. Gets to grips with God. Has a relationship with God. Deals with God. That's who you are going to be. And then Jacob does a brilliant thing. I love this, and I've never noticed this before. He turns around and he says to this manifestation of God, he says, what's your name? What's the first thing you do when you meet someone and going to have a relationship with them? What's the first thing you will ask them? You'll say, my name's Bob, what's your name? Jacob is actually trying for the first time to have a proper relationship with God. What's your name? And the answer he gets is more or less, what are you asking me that for? why do you want to know? I don't know whether to look at it as God saying, you know, you've had all this time to ask before, now why are you asking? Or whether it's, you know who I am. I've been there all the time. You know who I am. You know, God's there for you. Yeah, get to know him. Get to know him. So you can say, my Lord and my God. And so he meets with Esau, and everything is okay. Because, you see, the thing about Esau is he didn't really care about his birthright particularly. And the blessing of his father, well, he had his dad there anyway. Jacob had done a runner, and he was there. And when all this livestock comes and the people say to Esau, this is a gift from our master to you, he says, I don't need that. I've got stacks of stuff. You know, basically, he's already got flocks and all the rest of it. He doesn't need that, because Esau's a kind of a worldly person. He's not about the spiritual side of things at all. That's how he got cheated out of his birthright in the first place. So anyway, everything works out fine. So Jacob goes to live back home. But God has got something else for him. And I think this is really important. And bizarrely, I only noticed this morning, because I kind of missed this out as I went through my story of Jacob. You see, what happens is, God then comes to him again, comes to Jacob again, and he says, and this is important, go up to Bethel and settle there and build an altar there to God who appeared to you when you were fleeing from your brother Esau. So Jacob says to his household, all who are with him, and he says this, get rid of the foreign gods you have with you. They're still in quite a state, aren't they? If they've got a whole stack of foreign gods with them, that's not a good thing, is it? And then we go up to Bethel, where I will build an altar to God who answered, and he's remembering now, who answered me in the day of my distress and who has been with me wherever I have gone. Now he's realizing, now he's got it, that God's been with him all that time. And he goes back to Bethel. And God appears to him again. And I'll read that in a minute, but I want to ask you this question. Sometimes we need to go back to Bethel. We need to go back to the place where we met God. You know, some of us go astray, or our love of God isn't as strong as it used to be. Our faith in Jesus isn't what it was. We need to keep a check on ourselves sometimes to make sure that our love is still strong and hasn't just gone away. I was reading a book called Reformations, which I read now and again, and it says, we are very good at the art of settling. We're very good at settling, and settling for what we've got, and not thinking about what God wants for us. And God reminds him, and he says, your name is Jacob, but you will no longer be called Jacob. Your name will be Israel. So he named him Israel. And God said to him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and increase in number. A nation and a community of nations will come from you, and kings will come from your body. The land I gave to Abraham and Isaac, I also give to you. I will give this land to your descendants after you. And so Jacob sets up a stone pillar at the place where God's talked to him. And he remembers that God is God and has done so much for him. And then the story in the Bible turns to the story of Joseph, one of the sons of Jacob. And it's a long story that I'm not even going to bother about. But here's the, if you want to write the rest of the story, well, go and see the musical. Why not? But so Joseph is taken to Egypt. A whole stack of things happen. There's a famine and all the rest of it. During all this time, Jacob is at home and different things are happening. And Jacob, I think, is reflecting all the time on what's going on now. He's met with God a second time. Things are changing in his mind. And then eventually he's reunited with Joseph. And there's this lovely part where one of the things he says when he's having a chat with Joseph, it says in the Bible, and Israel, that's Jacob with his new name, worshipped. That's the first time we really hear about him worshipping as he leaned on the top of his staff. And then he starts blessing his children. And this is it. And this is the end of the journey. It says this. He says that Joseph has been looked after because of the hand of the mighty one of Jacob. Not Abraham, not Isaac. Now it's Jacob. The mighty hand of one of Jacob, because of the shepherd, the rock of Israel, because of your father's God who helps you. No longer somebody else's God, my God. You've been blessed by the mighty one of Jacob, the shepherd, the rock of Israel, your father's God, my God. He's finally kind of acknowledging who he is. Who is God to you? Now, well, I'd been totally separately looking through the Psalms, thanks to something that Jamie did last week or the week before. And one of my favorite Psalms is Psalm 46, but I'd never looked at it in this way. If you've got a way of looking at it this morning, you know, Bible or whatever, it's worth reading it. We're going to read it. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. You know, that's what Jacob learned. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. Whatever happens in life, God is there for you as refuge and strength. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. We know about this. I mean, when you realize that the Ukraine war is the biggest war in Europe since 1945, that brings it home, doesn't it? And then you don't have to think of all the stuff that's happening all around the world and all the things that go, you know, the terrible things that happen. But it says this, nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall, he lifts his voice, the earth melts, he's in charge. And then it says this, the Lord Almighty is with us, the God of Jacob is our fortress. What about that? Hundreds of years later, the God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, it goes on to say, the desolations he's brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow, shatters the spear, burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. That's each one of you needs to be still and know that he is God for you, your Lord, your God, and you grow in your relationship with him. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Isn't that lovely? That not only has Jacob acknowledged that God is his, but many years later, the person who writes this psalm says, it's the God of Jacob. It's the God of Jacob. That's all I've got to say, because I just want so much for everybody here, for God to be your God, and for you to be growing in God, and for your relationships to be steady through whatever happens to you. I've seen people who, when bad things happen in their lives, kind of turn away from God. And that's no good. God is there for you all the time. He will see you through it. I've had some really bad times in my life. And I can only say to you, my God has seen me through it. My God has looked after me, whether it's been grief, anxiety, fear. My God is real. He is my Lord. I'm going to pray now. Father God, thank you for who you are. Thank you that for some reason, you allow me to say that you're my Father, that you're my God. I can call you my Lord. Thank you for Jesus dying on the cross. Thank you for all those songs we could sing. Father God, my prayer now is for everybody in this church this morning to know you better, and in the coming week, not to forget you at any time, to know that you are there, and to take time as well to be still and know that you are God. Father God, I pray this for us and for everyone in that room behind me, and for all those that are part of our church. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.